It's 6:20 and we're going to start the Town Bolton Board of Selectmen Special Meeting, Facilities and Public Safety Subcommittee, Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, at the Town Hall. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. And our first discussion is going to be on the Veterans Commission request for a monument.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask that we have former Selectman Barry Sterns, who is a member of the Veterans Commission and one of the proponents of this particular item, be called to the table. And we also have the chairman of the Historical Society in town here as well.
Okay, would you like to come up and address the town? Grab a seat for a moment. One second, Board Clerk, Linda?
Mr. Chairman, can you tell me who is present other than the actual subcommittee members? I can't really see.
So Amanda Clark's still here, Bob Moore is still here, John Petromovich is still here, Jim is here, and...
Stephanie.
Stephanie is here.
Crane.
Crane. And John?
Toomey.
Toomey's here.
And Barry Sterns.
Hi, John Toomey.
Hi.
Linda.
Linda. And Tim?
Oh, hi, Linda.
Is still here, and Gwen Marion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, Barry or John, whoever wants to go first, you're welcome to start your...
I don't have a speech, I made my speech.
Oh, okay.
The last Selectmen's meeting. And at that time, I just said if you had any questions.
Oh, okay.
Let me know. Over again.
I'd appreciate it, and I was just mentioning, it had to do with a new monument proposed at your last Veterans Commission meeting, and that's all I really know.
Okay, well, I'll go over quickly. The Veterans Commission was in a monument of some sort to honor the, people, men and women from Bolton who served their country during the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812. Because there was no monument in this, in the monument. And we looked into it, we came up with a couple of ways to do it. One is to do another granite monument, and the other is to, like the World War I in the Korean Vietnam plaque. They're cast bronze plaques mounted on a bullet. And so we came up with some estimates for what it would cost. And then the Veterans Commission doesn't really have any ability to go out and buy this stuff. So we brought it back to the Board of Selectmen, so they have to go forward. They have to take it forward from here, what they want to do. But at that meeting, I did offer that if they needed it.
Pam?
Mr. Chairman, this originated during the Bolton 300 discussions of what could be a permanent marker in memory of those that had served many years ago. And we thought it was befitting. We also realized that we had money in our Founder's Day Fund. We have talked about that, Jim and I have talked about that. And you can use that type, those types of funds if there is an event. Placing of a monument, I think, is eventful, but I also think we would have a ceremony, a dedication ceremony, whether small or large. And we could, I think, justify the use of the funds from the Founder's Day Fund as a permanent memorial to these people who are a very important part of our past, not only for the town, but for our nation.
Okay.
Yes? I'm not on the committee, but...
You're a veteran.
Yeah, I am.
Not familiar with those words.
And, no, I was talking with John earlier, and our Buildings and Grounds guru, who came up with, I think, is a brilliant plan for placement that doesn't, we don't have to move any monuments that exist. Want to share it?
If behind the larger, the newer monument, in between the Rochambeau plaque and the Eagle Project, there used to be a mountain laurel there that didn't survive, but it's a perfect area right now for that to fit right in. It would go with the Rochambeau and the historical plaque that the Eagle Scout did, and it doesn't set off the
balance?
Yeah, of the whole green that's there. So it seems like a real perfect place for it.
Which way would it face, the writing? Would it face the south or north?
It would face Veterans Way.
Yeah, okay.
That's which way the plaques are facing now.
Okay,
Better there.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea, except the only downside is that it's not seen on the Memorial Day commemoration that we do on Monday, the last Monday in May, when many town folks gather. It doesn't mean we can't mention it, but most people don't take the time to walk around that particular, there's no walking path, there's no reason to go around the backside. But I think it's a good balance look to it. I do agree with that.
And it gives it a reason to walk around now.
And we could make a nice walkway around it too.
Could be something in the round.
So is this is two plaques, right, that we're talking about?
Well, it's only one, you're only one.
With all those.
One granite and one bronze. You can put all three of them on one plaque. That's what it's Vietnam, Korea, and.
Yeah.
There's three.
I'm surprised that those plaques haven't been stolen because of the bronze brass component, two of them. And that's why, keep going, I'll.
For the reason, John, they blend in with the rock. I mean, you really, they don't stand out by themselves.
No, that's true, but they're still.
I know.
Well, they're lit up at night.
Can we stay on topic for just one second of placement?
So, does anybody else have any additional comments here? Is there a thought that maybe we could expand the whole memorial garden?
You could, but it's going to be off, either way you do it now, unless we move the monuments and that, it would be off balance.
Because I know when they do the ceremony and they put the kids put all the flags down, it's kind of, they have a very difficult time putting the flags in, and it's very crowded. So I just came up with the thought that maybe if we just blew it open, you know, 5 feet on each side or something.
Make a little area about that wide, that softer soil that they
You'd have to, we might be able to go towards the.
Towards the road.
Well, the flowering plums. It's pretty.
Is it?
It's pretty close now.
Yeah.
So it'd only have, the only way we would be able to go is this way, towards the church.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, there's real estate there.
Well, it's just a thought. Yes, ma'am.
You know, there was an original thought, and I love the idea of making the match what is out there currently, but the original discussion with the 300, and it was just discussion, there was nothing, no, we didn't go very far with it, was to do two small pillow ones.
Right.
Cemetery style monuments. And put, because of the balance, John's very, very thoughtful in bringing up to put in smaller ones. So very large in the middle, there's a good sized one right and left, and then two small ones in between. And coming forward,
right.
Putting them forward of it. But there are benches there, is that not true, John?
Yeah, there's benches and Cotentilla.
Benches could be moved out a bit, but anyway, that was the original starting jump off point.
Right.
However, the vision that the Veterans Commission has is, I think, very pictorial and matching and would be lovely. Mm-hmm. It's just the three wars that are facing the wrong way. And it puts the flag on the other side.
The only two is the cast rocks are on those rocks. don't know how old they are, but they're well weathered. The new cast plaques will not look like that. They'll be bright, they're finished with a, some kind of a polymer they put on them, so they don't really fade like that anymore.
Stick out like a sore thumb, is that just? Stick out like a sore thumb?
They'll shine.
But the thing, that would make it more visible for somebody to try and steal it. You know, and then, believe me, these things are stolen. Just for the, you take it to some irreputable, melt it down for the bronze and take a few bucks on it, yes.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
I said, it's easy to get rid of that stuff.
Oh, I see.
Because enough of the irreputable and plaque.
As scrap.
A block. You know, because they disappear. When I was having my especially if they were mounted on a rock. Not into the rock, and the plaque would be recessed in it, so you couldn't get any behind it.
Right.
But that's another tough thing.
For them, you might as well get an engraved.
Yeah, but it's not, my preference, if I had to say, would be to go with a granite monument, especially if it's on the backside, the ones there. You know, that's just, it costs a lot more, but to me, that'd be preferable.
The two small granite monuments?
What, you mean two?
That's your preference?
No, there'd be one for all three of mine.
All granite?
No.
All granite, no bronze?
No, no bronze. Just what we gave you a copy of what the makeup, what the granite plaque would look like. You just need one, and then the only thing is, you gotta come up with a good size and then get a real good hard price on it. But the quote, the estimates that I got were $5,000 to $7,000 to do with the granite.
And that would?
That was one company, it wasn't a hard quote, just an estimate.
And that would, John, that would, you're thinking would be, have two granite ones back to back?
Basically, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Vietnam.
It would go, the large granite one that was put in a couple of years ago. Wasn't that long ago, was it, John?
Two.
Doesn't feel like it.
17 years ago?
No way.
It was Heritage Day of 2007.
Been here way too long.
17 years.
Goes, that one, the flag, and that would be the new one.
And we'd have to run lighting to it.
Yeah, but that's, it's already going right there. You just tap right off of the line going to the flag.
So you did come up with a cost.
Pardon?
You came up with an estimate for what your ideas were.
Yeah.
Was there any other ideas?
Yeah, those are the only two.
Okay.
The cast plaque.
May I?
Well, the only other thing, John, the cast plaque would be about, the plaque itself would be about $3,000. The same size as what those are.
Yeah.
And then you'd have.
I don't think you're gonna be able to fit all those names into something that size.
You need to get, you know.
Oh, there are no names going to be put on it?
Oh, you're not gonna do that?
No, in memory of those who served?
Oh, that's, oh.
Yeah, they're not gonna put your names on it.
Oh, because that was why I created the monument to begin with, because the little one there just says, you know, in honor of all those, and I thought, why shouldn't we mention at least the people that we all can remember during, from the last, you know, from the 20th century? That was why I did it. And the other reason, it doesn't have brass on it, because, I think, when I brought the original proposal to you in 2002, it was just gonna be a Vietnam monument, much smaller, with just the names of the two schoolmates that I had, and just, you know, the POW symbol on the front, and then and in the back of it was gonna be the names of all those, like, from Bolton that went in, from Bolton, and were honorably discharged. And then we didn't raise much money on that little concept of Vietnam, because we kind of were fighting the Vietnam War all over again. And Ray Boyd said, why don't we do World War II, Korea, and Vietnam? And by that point, we just started in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that's why all those names are there, so that people, they're all people that we all know, well, maybe not all of you know, but they're people that we know, and I think we should put, I think it would be good to have the names of people, but I have an idea, and originally, you and I talked about this even before the 300, getting like a, you know, classic, almost.
Obelisk.
Obelisk.
Yep.
Would need. But that cost, and the estimate comes from 2003 or 2004, $17,000 and almost $18,000.
Yep.
For that much granite and all, and that much carving.
There's a lot of script on it.
There's a lot of script.
Mm.
And what my, I have a modest proposal. The back of that monument is completely blank. We could put the Revolutionary War soldiers that way, the Civil War, the War of 1812, the Civil War, and the Spanish-American War on the backside. And the one thing I want to stress to the Board of Selectmen is we need to make it so there's nothing planted around the monuments. I found a photograph of the original World War I monument. It was more or less in front of Town Hall in the green.
So it both.
Yeah. And there was shrubbery around it, so it started to encroach on it. There's pictures of the former Board of Selectmen in front of the green on Memorial Day when we just had the two monuments with all of the bushes behind it that were growing into it. And I'm glad that I put that monument there. We got rid of that problem. And the monument that we did for the bicentennial, it's in the cemetery when you drive in by the flagpole. I think they trimmed it back, but there was a whole bush covering half of the monument. You know, it was just like, you know,
Both did not. Both open
up. Yeah.
Both.
But we need to make it so that that doesn't happen anymore. It's great that we're giving business to local nurseries and tree companies, because I'm sure Treach Trees did that. It's good to give the business, but it creates more work for his folks constantly. There's maybe perennial flowers could be planted, but that's my first main concern. But to put all those names, we could put them on the back of that monument, and especially for the Civil War, they're facing south, which is where they went to establish our, keep our union.
I like that, Pam.
There was a big controversy over putting the names on the Vietnam, because there were people who lived in town that served in Vietnam and were not included.
That's normal. It happens everywhere.
And four people were left off, and we had to have them added on, and it was a lot more hurt feelings, and it was fraught with angst because names were included. That's why in some of the earliest discussions of what to do about a new monument, it was going to be worded that would say to all who served.
Mm.
And it could be from the town of Holton, but to all who served. And then you don't run the risk of missing someone and having to go back and try and put it in. And then they're out of alphabetical order. And there's a...
Yeah, well, that happened, I know.
It's still up there.
Yes.
I think it would be a bigger risk of the wars we're talking about. How do you find all those people that served?
That's really not quite a problem. I did go through the Bolton, all the old Bolton books, and they listed who was buried in the cemetery, but most of the ones that died didn't come back.
That's right.
But I know we can go to the State Library and get the listings of the Revolution, the War of 1812, Civil War, Spanish-American War. Oh, there's only one Spanish-American War person up in
probably
that cemetery.
Probably less likely that those people are going to complain about
those. And that's the other good thing about this.
No, probably not.
Well, here's now about the people that would complain. Here's why I did what I did with that monument. I trusted a World War II Iwo Jima survivor who's told me the DD-214 has to say whether it went into service. It had to be honorably discharged, and that's it. and I trust Frank Bellini. And that's why we have on there, and when a lot of the folks called up to be put on that monument, I spent a lot of time talking to Vietnam vets who actually, what Frank taught me to say was, did you serve in country? Did you receive a combat medal, a combat ribbon, or a combat badge? And they, you know, there's only one answer to that, or there's two, yes or no. And I had a lot of people say, oh no, I was on a ship in the Mediterranean, or I was in a meat locker in London. And it's like, thanks for your service, but that's not what, you know, and I wasn't gonna go against Frank Bellini.
So.
Pure and simple. That's why those names are there. And there were people that didn't see the newspaper stories, didn't see the things in the Bolton Community News. Frank put it into the senior citizens and
newsletter.
In the newsletter there, and they talked about it, and there's, oh, the demo came to me years after that was done. It's like her brothers lived here. And I mean, you would think Eleanor would have heard something, but those are the kind of things you're always going to run into. And those people from 1776, 1812, 1865, and 1898, there's nobody's going to complain.
So you're talking about putting those names on the back of the existing. So the monuments that we're discussing at this point will not have names on them, right? As far as I know.
Well, yes,
that's
no,
what
they will.
It's basically like what the other, well, the World War I.
You're interjecting a different topic, I think.
The World War I's got a list of names.
The World War I's got a list of names.
That, that's a, well,
and then there's a little one.
Yeah.
When was that done, on the 70s? The other one that just listed different wars.
One at a time, please.
Korean and Vietnam. What's the third one? There's three down there. Anyway, that just says, as it was like this.
Okay.
The only problem with that plaque is they got Vietnam is two words. Vietnam's one word. You know, otherwise two words, yeah, maybe, but it is. I noticed that for the first time I looked at it. You know, so but anyway, aside of here and there. And I don't think anybody's ever complained about that.
Nope.
So, you know, so.
That's one I missed.
Yeah.
Okay.
May I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Regarding the Vietnam names, are there still outstanding people that have been forgotten to put on there?
I think one of the Smythes.
So is that something that I assume we eventually will be able to get those on there?
If there's room. And what I would suggest, they're probably not going to take up all that space, and what we need to do, when we had that monument carved in 2005 or 6, we were still collecting names. All the names on that door, people that went to, not all of them,
yeah,
but on that door. So those names that are there on that door that went to Iraq and Afghanistan,
yeah,
we never put it on. And now the Bolton Alumni Association is defunct. That's who, we were the ones that created the whole thing to do this. So
it seemed important to some folks that I spoke to that they were on there. I'm sure you guys are on top. You took care of it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of experience counseling Vietnam. I'm a Vietnam era veteran. I wasn't in Vietnam. When I went to college, I worked in the Veterans Affairs Office, both MCC and UConn. And you deal with a lot of guys with a lot of different problems. And, you know, a lot of what we dealt with, they couldn't get their benefits. We'd fight to try to get their benefits. They don't care about the name of life. They just wanted to get their medical benefits, they wanted to get whatever happened. They didn't care too much about recognition. Now, that was 50 years ago, which is amazing. So some of those people that are still around may feel it different now, I don't know. You know, but I really don't know. But I have a lot of friends that went through that, and most of them, they didn't join the VFW, they didn't do any of that stuff. They just went on a merry little way, got out of the service, went and got a job, went to college, and you know, that was it.
So, do we want to move forward with anything, or do we want to first investigate? Yes, Pam.
I would recommend that we send this idea back to the Veterans Commission.
Yeah.
That there's the two ideas, one John Bethmovich came up with, of a placement of the bronze and boulder in the back, and Mr. Toomey's vision of possibly back carving on the existing stone, and have them come back to us with their recommendation about whether we should do names, no names, just an open thank you to all who served in the town of Bolton. And so why don't we send it back? I would recommend, from being on this
yeah.
subcommittee, that we send it back to the Veterans Commission and hear their thoughts on it.
Tim, you're on the commission, or the,
I think everyone's in favor of the monument, of whatever they feel is best. I'm certainly not qualified. I'm not a veteran. I'm not a decorator, not a landscaper. So I think as a veteran, and, I agree with Pam. I think it would be good to just see, work out the placement, work out what size they want. And it sounds like we have funds.
I think you could,
don't go too nuts, and I think
you can send it back, and we can look into the other one. We're a 5-member board with 2 alternates, and we have trouble making a quorum now.
Gotcha.
We have the wrong veterans on the Veterans Commission. We got guys like they're older, you know. And one of the things we're talking about now in the Veterans Commission is trying to get younger veterans involved, trying to figure out how to do that, so that people in on the veterans. I mean. I think I'm on for a 2-year term. I don't think I'm gonna stay on. I really don't think so. I've got other stuff going on in my life, and I'm getting older now, and I've served this town a lot. And, you know, it's always been an honor to do it. But
you're the Historical Society, right?
Yes.
Should we push it back onto both of you? Because this Historical Society would probably have a lot more to do with the
true
names and everything.
You know, I just thought of a compromise, a bonding of the two ideas of separate thing with brass.
We never even considered putting it on the back.
Yeah, why don't we just put what you said on the back?
That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Just keep it simple.
And if we ever can come up with whoever else served in Vietnam, and in Afghanistan and Iraq, there's room on the back panel, and the reason it's shaped that way is because I took that idea straight out of the Vietnam Vet Monument in Washington, D.C.
So would the subcommittee consider having a mention, because somebody at this table is the MC for the,
Memorial Day
commemoration.
That's you.
It's Mather.
We're going to pass it all over.
It's Pam and Bobby, our integral part.
And you could mention First Selectman's comments that we are looking to put these monuments into it.
Right.
And we could mention there are a couple of options. And we could also mention that there may be some openings on the Veterans Commission, because that's where there will be some veterans present.
I'm sorry.
Mention it at the
in my speech
on the 27th that there will be openings on the Veterans Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And would you please see one of us before you leave today if you have an interest?
We're going to have a table there too, one of these to collect flags. At the green.
On that day?
On that day.
Is it in the bulletin?
It was in the bulletin. So I'll be there.
Could we also get it on the
bulletin
Facebook page?
Oh.
As well as on the front of the
what do you want to put on?
About the flags.
What do you want to have put on the
flag collection? There'll be a retired flag collection.
So can we ask?
This has nothing to do with this, but I don't know if
we work on a design.
You know what the wall of the heels is?
Seen it.
is a replica of the Vietnam Memorial.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's coming to Manchester. Be in Manchester.
Go ahead, Ken.
Tim, ask your question again, I'll answer.
No, I'm just looking at what the next steps are, and you can design that.
Well, you send it back to us, and we can invite John to come to our meeting.
Right.
And we can sit down.
John, so we have a town commission, and we have a local.
Town historian.
We have town historian, but we have a, but he is also president of the.
Historical Society.
Historical Society, which is not a town one. It's a.
Just so that it's all brought together as a governmental entity.
I would recommend that we bring as many locals into it that have, would have an interest.
That too?
Yeah.
Because your historical society is real positive.
Is that a 401, is that a nonprofit?
Yes, we are.
So you're eligible to request grants from the, what's the group we're giving?
Harper Foundation for Public Giving, Better Bolton.
Which I mentioned to them that you guys, I kind of started lobbying for you guys to perhaps come forward looking for funds to do something like that. So, I set the stage for you, John.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Any comments, Gwen?
No.
Okay, so I think we have all our comments for recommendations.
I talked to Kathy, the chair of the Veterans Commission, anyway, saying I would like to come to talk about other future things, and it wasn't really.
What day is it? We meet the first Thursday of June. In the month.
Yeah, June 6th.
Is there?
Yes.
What time do you meet?
Huh?
What time do you meet?
9:30 in the morning.
I can be here. I have a meeting at 2 in New Haven, I got a historical society, so it's a day.
But we set that because of the group that we have.
And go out for coffee, yeah.
He's a group to get somewhere. Well, it's hard to get up that early, but.
Is there any requirements for John? Do you have any questions, comments?
No. Sounds like John will do whatever we decide. He'll make it fit.
And make it look lovely as he always does.
We'll do our best.
You do, John. Big time.
And you can always ask this guy for his opinion.
There you go.
Someone who has really great artistic talents when it comes to landscaping.
Do you?
Okay, so we're good on this one. Can we move on to the next topic? Anybody object to that?
Thank you.
Thank you, Barry.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for coming.
Bye, Linda.
So.
John says bye, Linda.
This is the one I'm here for.
Okay, now the discussion on pupils, number three.
At the last selectmen's meeting, we were talking about that. The gym to go back and research what the town did or didn't do. And in talking, and I met with Lance and also with Dan, who was his predecessor. So in the discussions, we, you know, that piece of road was never considered a town road. And we had the same issues that we had today as far as ownership and this and that. But what I asked was, all right, there was pavement on that section. In any remembrance of how it happened? Well, in speaking with Lance, and this is, but going back to, I think the mid 80s, in that era, they, first selectman had them do two things because it was dirt, it was gravel. Dirt then. And they're having the same issues that we had 20 years ago, that it was impacting emergency vehicles access. There was that road, and there was also a couple of more of those little one-lane dirt roads that existed off of Plymouth Lane. And what they did then, they did put a surface, amosite surface on it.
The town did.
The town did. And they just had a bulldozer go in and grade off those other dirt roads because the ruts are so bad you couldn't get an ambulance in. Dirt roads on those back when Mike and I were first on the board, we had the same issue, that Rux was so bad, and we, at that time, said, all right, we brought in some, I believe it was Billings or Gravel, and had it spread, leveled off, so that you could get emergency vehicles in and out, and that, and those have stood for today. But nothing was ever done on Cubles at all. So what was done was kind of like, and I was thinking about this, and if I might share my thoughts on it, is, you know, we did a maintenance issue on that road for a specific reason. Now it's for public safety. That particular road also has buses. So I don't think we have to own this thing to say we would maintain it to a level that provides safe passages for our emergency vehicles and for our buses. And I think that should, you know, if there's a pothole, we fix the pothole, because you don't want the bus hitting it, don't have a fire truck hitting it. And that would be my suggestion as to how to deal with this without going through the, you know, the issue of ownership and creating, to me, a precedent that I would be opposed to. That's my comment.
All set?
Yeah. He's got a question.
I think if there's a way to do that, that's a phenomenal idea. In order to provide the safe passageway and not have to deal with the legal issues, if it's possible. I'm not a legal expert, but I think that's a great idea.
And I gotta thank Jim for helping put a bee in my ear on that one. But
I think everyone would be happy. Nobody cares who owns it except us.
As long as that issue is dealt with.
Great.
When the sewer authority redid that, they graded it. I mean, it's got a decent base underneath. It did a normal paving job as you would any roadway. So the surface, under normal circumstances, should go another 18, 20 years. And then whoever's here after that, that's their problem.
The sewer authority paved it?
Pardon me?
The sewer authority paved it?
Yes, because when we went through there, the paving was so bad, we were required to repair it back. You couldn't repair it because there's nothing you could attach to Mason. So we paved that whole thing. We had to do the same thing off of Lakeside Lane and Lakeside Circle.
So
that's why that's paved there.
It's a multi-town
owned pavement.
No, this was done by the sewer authority. Neither town.
Multi-town authority, not.
It's a separate authority. That authority is, town of Bolton doesn't control it, and neither does town of Vernon. It's its own entity, thanks to Pam and a few other groups.
So I assume we just need to make sure we don't have liability issues.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. I have an uncomfortable feeling about assuming a piece of property for our maintenance without having a legal document. And what I would like to ask is our town attorney to look into eminent domain of that right, that 192 feet. Assuming, and make it stand up appropriately, legally. The town assumes it, and it does what it takes Bob's idea. Get it done, keep it up, maintain it for our emergency vehicles, and that's the grounds in which we would assume eminent domain. Because the former ownership is a committee, it wasn't a foundation, what was it?
Association.
Association that is no longer, it's defunct. So it's floating out there in no man's land? Who owns it?
Nobody knows.
And that's why I think we could assume it by eminent domain.
Gwen?
So is one of the problems that we don't want to pay our town attorney to dig into who owns it and get into the legal transfer issues?
They did it.
I know, because your idea might solve that if that's what we're trying to avoid. Well, I think it's a good idea to not just have an unwritten understanding that the town will maintain it I think it's got to be more substantial than that. And if Bob, if one of your concerns is that we don't want to have to get into the legal situ, paying a lawyer to do all that research to find ownership so that we can make the transfer exactly correctly, then I think the eminent domain might work.
We did that already, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, so, okay, so if that didn't work, then maybe this, I do think we should have something in the town records. Because 150 years from now, somebody's going to say.
No, I don't disagree with you.
Okay, and the other point about the precedent is, I made this at the last meeting. This section of road seems different to me from a little, like a Mark Anthony Road, or I can't think of the other, like there's a couple more, I'm sure, up by the lake. North Street maybe is one of them, where you've got one little section of road that's servicing six or so houses. This is a through street, and when you drive up there, it's just obvious, you would never even think, oh, this is a private road. It seems like.
Put a rock there.
Yeah, right, that's right. It should be in public hands. And what I'm doing is supporting your idea, Pam, that if eminent domain is the easy way, section in the hands, in the name of the town of Bolton, I would support that.
And historically, the town attorney was asked and did look into trying to make it work back when the sewer authority first dealt with that. They were not able to get proper ownership to do that.
Did you consider eminent domain back at that time?
No, we didn't.
Okay, yeah.
We didn't. We were looking for a simple solution. Eminent domain is that, I mean, or let me ask you a question, is eminent domains, is that strictly for ownership? Was that a fee simple ownership, or would it be for, could you do it for a right of way? Is that a?
It's a taking.
I'm sorry?
So, yeah, I think it'd be fee ownership.
But only fee ownership?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want just a right of way anyway, would you?
Well, you need an easement on either side.
Yeah, do you have to bring it up to, I don't think that road's wide enough.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't think, I don't, I hope it wouldn't, the town wouldn't say we have to have it 50 feet wide or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a recommendation that we ask our town attorney to review the state statutes, because I know eminent domain was not changed with Little Pink House issue down in Groton with the taking, and we did not change it, but the premise of most eminent domain is for the public good as opposed to a private use like Pfizer. I would recommend that we, at our subcommittee, ask the town administrator to go back to our legal counsel and just bring us forward the steps for what is required.
And the steps, and also whether eminent domain will result in the town of Bolton taking legal title in a fee interest in the property, in the section of the road, yeah. And does everybody agree that we don't have an expectation it's got to be 50 feet wide there?
No.
If
I may speak to that question.
You'd be getting into people's yards.
Normally it's 50 feet wide, but what I think would, if that's the way I end up going, I think it would be imperative if we actually survey that portion if we're gonna do eminent domain, to be specific, survey exactly what we are going to take. So it's defined once and for all. So
yes,
we don't care who's on either side, what it is, it's just that, and limited to that. I think that's,
I think it's already defined. I think it's already defined in the deed.
Is it in there? Okay.
Well,
I'm not sure if the meets and bounds are, but there's actually a deed.
The whole issue was that there was, I thought ownership was not able to be established, and that's why we're in this situation.
No, ownership is, in my opinion, ownership is clear, and it belongs to an association that no longer exists.
It doesn't exist.
So then it's not.
They would have to refile their, they would have to reform their association and corporate paperwork. But I think that's what happened.
Then we probably wouldn't, We wouldn't need eminent domain then. Then that's just a matter of getting it, getting the association into shape so that they can transfer, make a transfer of the deed. I thought that, no, that there was really completely unclear.
Well, these aren't any of the same people.
So I mean, maybe if homeowners association could be formed specifically for the purpose of transferring the title to this section of road.
And that would require them to do that work. It's not something that the town would take over.
It sounds like they would be eager to do that.
Aren't they the ones that want it?
They would be eager to offer us a quick deed.
Yeah.
But they would, can't get a quick deed unless they are an association.
Yeah, so it's more like a corporate structure issue.
It's a corporate structure.
Could we give them the guidance and say, you guys need to form this, this association so that you can give us the deed, sign the deed?
It costs money to do that, to get a 501(c)(3) going as.
But let them do that. I mean, our attorney, town attorney could say, you need to reform this organization, X, Y, Z steps, take X, Y, and Z steps. I mean, these people sound like they'd be willing to do it.
I would like to ask the town attorney whether eminent domain or doing it this other way. Because we know what their want is, and that is for us to take it over.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they have a desire.
Jim, any other comments you want to throw in here?
So, and I should couch that with, that is based on town hall staff research. And we found a deed. That's the last deed we found. We've actually provided them with a copy of the deed. But I think in order to do this, somebody actually has to probably do a title search and make sure that that's the last recorded deed.
Okay. So I had a previous conversation, and my thought originally was to obviously do nothing. But my, our next conversation was to draft a motion that would include the fact that we're only doing the maintenance on the road for buses, emergency vehicles, and that's it. And it would be part of our motion, which would go forward, which anybody who decided that that was a precedent, they'd have to get past that. I mean, we could make the motion as big as we want. It could be written by Barger, and it would stop any precedent from being set. So that was my thought.
But if you do an eminent domain, that's clear to that specific piece of property and no other.
And then we own it. Right.
And no other.
And you can state the purpose. It's to provide safe passage for.
Public.
Well.
Yeah, I think.
Emergency vehicles are.
Which is public safety.
But what, my concern about that is that'd be very hard to draft a document that covers all the situations that we wanted to cover.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what if a pine tree falls across the road?
Right.
Or what if, you know, there's just the drainage starts to get iffy on either side? I mean, just, it would be hard to define exactly when the town has to step in to do the maintenance. I think it'd be much clearer to have ownership be in the town.
I meant as part of, to be the ownership, I meant as part of that. I mean, in our, if we go that route, I think that should be part of somewhere in the statement as for the reasoning for doing that.
For the transfer.
Yeah, it's that we're doing it because of public safety issues.
Uh-huh.
And specify some of those public safety issues so that it's not just doing it because a bunch of neighbors are rattling their cage.
Yeah.
Okay, would you like, may I make a motion then?
Do we need all 50 feet, I guess?
No.
We need easements up to 50 feet though. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
That we ask our town attorney to review what it would take for eminent domain and a product that, or a document that would solve the, or address the width of the road.
Is there a second? It's got to be one of us. I'll second that.
So are you just, are you're, you would not be.
This is such a subcommittee speaking.
Okay, so, but you're discounting the idea of having the, having the town attorney spell out the steps that the homeowners association would be, have to take in order to.
I was going to do a motion at home.
Oh, two, you're separating them. Okay, got it.
All in favor? Aye. That's four yeses, no, zero noes. And now.
And then I'd like a second, make a second motion that the town attorney be asked to look into what would be necessary for the reestablishment of the original association with the current landowners.
Anyone want to second that one?
Yeah, I'll second that. You can have it, Tim.
Tim, second that one? All in favor? Or is there any discussion? Discussion passed. Okay. Motion passed. Okay, so I guess it gets moved on to Rich Barger's table. Now we're on to number four. I'm sorry, Stephanie, I should have moved you.
Sorry, John.
That's okay.
Sorry, Stephanie.
That's fine. I've been here since 8:30, so.
You guys can deal with it. Don't need me on this one.
No, thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening.
Okay, discussion on Indian Notch Park. So do you want to explain this, Stephanie? Or should I just read it here?
You can read it, yeah. I mean, I was brought into the conversation, but I didn't start the conversation.
Oh, okay. So as it stands now. Do you want to explain, is it John? Do you want to explain that?
No, I was brought in too. I could go.
All right. Well, you know how it works, right?
Yep.
As it is, okay.
Indian Notch, when we fill up, we close the gates, not letting any more people in for the rest of the period. It happens, the most it's happened was back in 2017-18, four times we closed and not letting more people in. The amount of people we let in is dictated about how many lifeguards we have on duty. They say Red Cross suggests between 50 and 75 people per lifeguard. So if we have two lifeguards on, we only let 150 people in. If she's full staff, we'll get up to closer to 300 to 400. We found years ago that everybody who comes doesn't, it isn't just like one person will leave and you can let one car in, because there's like four cars waiting at the gate to get into the park. And most of the people who come there, they spend most of their day there, if not all day long, especially now that we're only from 9 to 5. So I guess we've gotten a couple of people saying that they go there and they're not allowed in and they bought season passes. So I think that's what the problem is heading towards.
Kathy had gotten an email complaining that every time they try to get into the park, they can't get into the park, which you're saying only happened like four times in.
Last year, none. Mm-hmm. 2022, it happened twice. 2021, none. Mm-hmm. 20, we weren't open. 19 and 18, four times. And 2017, it happened twice. And one of those times was because we only had two lifeguards. So it's not something that happens often.
So how much of an effort does it take that once a vehicle exits the park, that you would allow another car in? Or is that how it works now?
No, now once we close the gate because we're full, we end up leaving it closed.
Okay.
And we don't let anybody new in.
So let me just understand, you have somebody standing at the gate collecting the money and
letting Yeah, they're further
in.
Down into the park, but yeah, you come right. in, you buy a ticket
Yeah.
for the amount of people you have in your car. We take
Yeah.
count of how many people come into the park. And once we reach a number,
Yep.
depending upon the lifeguards,
Right.
we close it. And normally we close it for the rest of the day.
Okay, so we want to say that if somebody leaves, that you can let another car in.
And I'm personally against that, because if one car leaves with one person in and the car waiting has five people in it or seven people in it, that's a nightmare. Or them are in one car and their friends right behind them are in another, you're gonna let him in and
not the friends?
Not, yeah. So that's the kind of things we deal with on 4th of July.
Right.
It's the one time that we always close. Well, except for the last 2 years, is the park is full before the gates even open. People line up around 6 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And we let them come in to get them off the roads, and we line them up and we count them. And by the time we go through that line, it's closed.
Holy mackerel.
But that's, like I said, the most that happens is 4 times a year.
Right.
When this was brought to us at first, I was like, well, I mean, I don't know how it works. And they're all John's people who usually run the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so my initial thought was like, oh, well, a car out and let somebody else in. But it sounds like it's not really as big of an issue as this person who emailed us said it was. And I mean,
right.
I've heard people complain on Facebook about, you know, oh, I live in town, but I can never get into the park. Sounds like that's not necessarily true.
Wow.
And like, I don't know if John thinks that it's not feasible and it's not something that makes sense. Like, my personal opinion is to just go with what, you know, works better for you guys, because it's your people. And
it really doesn't happen often enough,
yeah,
to change, I believe.
I have a question about that, though. I mean, it's a great point that if one person leaves in a car and there's a person with a vehicle of five, you can't let them in. Makes sense.
Right.
But is it unreasonable to say, okay,
after,
take one off and then say, well, you got five people, I only have spots for one person?
Or if you're going to do something like that, maybe,
I mean,
people leave
right,
before
right.
you start letting
you
anybody
gotta let
in.
Five, you know.
So wait till you got 20 people left.
They'll leave,
before
yeah.
you make
or whatever, left. If there's five people in that car, they're waiting there, right? Or no, not necessarily.
We try to shoo them away because
right.
they're waiting out on Talon Road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is in.
Do you think that's reasonable, or is that too complicated?
That
to like just count by
that'd
person?
Be easier.
Yeah.
And that way we could, you know, work it. The way we always thought was most of the people stay there throughout the day. The only time it fills up is when it's
yeah.
And kids, when it gets to that late in the day where people are starting to leave, I always wanted to let them kind of chill out a little.
Yeah, no doubt.
Without bringing more newer people, and that's the philosophy I used.
Because they're in high alert, kids are supposed to be as alert
point.
As possible.
Yeah.
At the end of their day.
Is
sure,
do you think that could you let season pass holders in even if you're at 150 or the max? Because how many of those situations are there going to be?
The trouble with that would be when, okay, the season pass person drives around the people that aren't season passes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they come in and we let them in, those people waiting there
yeah.
aren't going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's because when they buy their season pass, they're told it doesn't guarantee you entrance into
yeah,
the park.
Can't do anything about that, I don't think, right?
Yeah,
based on that description.
Yeah. Because most of our clientele aren't residents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So the people that are waiting outside aren't going to be happy. If we're like, oh, you're letting a resident in. No, there's a season pass. Well, I can see it getting
yeah.
a little.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Hearing
the discussion
and the infrequency of the complaints, it's been precedence how we've been running it. At this time, I would recommend, it's not a motion, but I would recommend that the subcommittee not forward this to the board and we continue with the existing policy.
Especially since we went up on the rates, our attendance, the money's been there, but the attendant numbers have been
okay.
lower.
And it was
yeah.
raining like every weekend last year. So we didn't make as much money as we
yeah.
thought we were going to last year,
sure.
but
sure.
we also sold less season passes.
Yeah.
It was the first year we had done season passes since before COVID maybe. So we might get more people this year, but you know.
Right. Yeah, maybe table it until next year, see what the turnout is this year, if it's more of a normal year.
I think you guys made great points, and you think about this more than we have in the last 5 minutes. So I think you have a good handle on the balance of how important it is. Number one, is it an issue that is
yeah.
worth changing rules for? Number two, how changing one policy impacts how everybody else sees it. So
yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
I'd ask if we.
I just wanted clarification about this. So the status quo, if we go with that, is that people leave and that's it, and you're not going to be counting new people
right.
coming in.
The only time
they leave,
like a parking garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what about the, there was another suggestion on here, or an idea, they lose their parking spot and must pay again to re-enter the same day, or are we, is that a different, that's a different issue, it sounds like.
No, I think that was one of those suggestions, but the problem with, not the problem, but what people, a lot of people do is, they'll come in, drop their family off, set up their grills, their picnic tables, and then they'll run to the, one or two of them will run to the store to get what they need. Or halfway through the day, they run out of soda, they'll run to the store and they come back. They have a ticket with the, each day, we write down the ticket numbers. If you're leaving, we make sure that's how many people you come back with, and thank you, Pam.
And is that system okay?
That's been working, yeah.
So, Jim, do you want to pipe in here for any reason?
The request that we've gotten from a couple of citizens is for the Board of Selectmen to review this policy because they've reported having difficulty getting into the park. When we discussed this as staff most recently, we were kind of going off of memory how often the park gets closed because it gets to capacity. And John clearly has done some significant research since our last discussion. And he's demonstrated to us that it's fairly infrequent. And I think, you know, you will have done what the citizen request was, which was to consider amending your policy with regard to closure. So I think, you know, if you're all comfortable with that, you know, we can respond to anybody now with the data that John has given us and say, you know, the Board of Selectmen did look at it. And they're choosing not to change policy. And this is the reason why, is that, you know, since 2018, it's only been closed, you know, X many times in a year. So I'm quite comfortable with that decision, especially now that we have more data.
All right. So we don't need a motion or anything. We're just, our decision is to maintain status quo. And we'd like to have a copy of, even if it's just a picture. I'll take a picture of it.
Mr. Chairman, so, I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting's
adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
7:22.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.